Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champion.
Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
The following is a part of KJZC Real Campus Radio. Listen to us anytime online at live365.com, keyword KJZC.
Maverick Crowley will destroy you in a tag match. With information more relevant than famous quotes, I'm proud to introduce you to Running the Roast. Now check them, folks. The revolution won't be televised. Every Thursday, 1-3, get mesmerized. Yeah, just a couple of Steve Urkels on ends they can't cover. In the square circle, seeing that we got you. All the way we got you. WWE, any circuit, you know we got you. Right here on SNS, get your network. From the podcast of the Untrained Sports Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new edition of Running the Ropes this week. Brian Maverick Bertrand with you, flying solo for this one. Just an amazing, amazing day I am having today, ladies and gentlemen. I got some emails yesterday regarding a new job. I got something offered to me. And I'm going to be an audio engineer now for local NBC affiliate AM radio station KLIV 1590. It's going to be the most awesome thing that I know how to do. Why? Because all it is audio editing. And you guys have listened to Running the Ropes in the past. I don't mess around when it comes to editing. Okay, well, sometimes I do. But I really have that going for me. I'm a pretty damn good audio editor, and I am so freaking happy right now. So probably by the time you get this, I will be at KLIV in San Jose, California, just killing it over there. It's going to be boring. It's going to be long and it's going to be tedious, but I'll tell you what, it's money and it's in the field that I have a genuine, genuine interest in, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm excited for it. I'm going to kill it. I'm not only going to do that, but I'm still going to do the show. I'm still going to do Running the Ropes as much as I can. We're going to return live every week consistently starting on the week of September 3rd. So we're going to be back live consistently on air on September 5th. So mark that day down on your calendars and I'll tell you why. If you guys have kept up with my Twitter at RTR Maverick, no K at the end because that's how I just roll. If you guys have been following me on there, I've been... I've been interacting with a former guest in the form of, well, one of my favorite guests, and I made no secret about it, Big Vito. And I may have him back on the show. I want to do it live. I want to have a live interview. I want to have him pull no punches, but I don't want him to cuss. So we gotta be careful. But we'll see what we could do on that. I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to getting his view, because I want to pick that guy's brain. I want to pick a wrestler's brain in terms, especially with everything going on this week, or this whole month regarding TNA wrestling, regarding their whole thing with releases, and also with just, you know, anything newsworthy that I would love to get his opinion on. Anything that happened on Raw and Impact, I would love to get his opinion on. Anything that, you know, that strikes his brain, because that guy can talk. I mean, you've heard him on here, and the guy knows how to control a situation. You know, let's not make no bones about it. The guy knows what he's doing. So I would love to get him on there. And if you want to submit anything regarding WWE, TNA, Big Vito, Big Vito's career, hell, Big Vito's dress choices, I'm sure he'll be open to that. I would definitely love to get the fans on top of this and to really welcome Big Vito as, you know, not just another, you know, wrestler to get an interview, but also as a guy who can come on here regularly and spit the truth and to just create, you know, I mean, controversy creates cash. I want controversy to create listeners. So that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, you know what? I just want to, you know, let that out there and make sure you guys have an idea on what to look forward to once we get back on the KJCC server and broadcasting. It's going to be great. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be awesome. So anyways, let's go ahead without further ado. Let's jump in. First thing on the clock, news of the week. Alright, topping off the first segment of the day, after a match at a house show in Cape Town, South Africa, former WWE Champion Randy Orton was attacked by a crazed fan after his win against Biggie Langston. Another fan in the audience caught the entire incident on camera. In the video, the fan low blows Orton, who was up on the middle turnbuckle. According to fan reports, Orton did not retaliate as he simply flipped the bird to the fan as he was being dragged out of the ring by security. Due to this incident, WWE had to cancel their meet and greet, which was to take place after the show. In other WWE news, according to E! Network, WWE's Total Divas series premiere was the highest rated premiere since Married to Jonas in August of 2012. It was also the second most social E! Series coming up under Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And on the TNA side of things, Keiji Muto, also known as the Great Muta of Japanese and WCW fame, visited the offices of TNA in Nashville, Tennessee this week. He's currently in discussion for an agreement between TNA Wrestling and Japan's Wrestle One promotion, which Muto runs with Gen Sports Entertainment. Details have been reported as to bring TNA wrestlers overseas, but there is currently no word on if talent will come out to the States in exchange. In other TNA news, videos have been circulating to build up this week's TNA Impact. The latest series in the video has been making reference to Chris Jericho as being a rock star, and the man in the video also says, quote, "The 1% will make the biggest change," end quote. So more on this on next week, right here on Running the Ropes. And finally, former TNA Gut Check winner Taylor Hendricks, who was just on the show, was on another show, the Greg DeMarco show, rather, recently, saying that Dixie Carter said that she was too heavy to be on TV. I say that with John McCain air quotes, despite being a size 3. Hendricks later retracted the quote on Twitter, saying that fans should listen to her words instead of reading them on, quote, drama dirt sheets. And that was your news, brought to you by HeadlocksOfHeadlines.com, the official news source of Running the Ropes. And let's go ahead, let's go back here, and I'll give my opinions on these. First up, this fan in South Africa, I'm surprised he did not get his ass whooped. I mean, I want to share a story with you guys on this. I was helping out a promotion in Bakersfield. It was my first time in Bakersfield, cool place. It was like a little martial arts gym I was at. I was doing some security for them, and I was told that a wrestler was hurt in the ring, and I was told to go out to the ring and help out the wrestler and all that. I go in, I slide under the ring, I look over at the promoter, and he yells, "Get the F out of the ring! Get out!" You know, yelling at me, telling me to get out of the ring and all that. And I did as soon as he said it. And but anyway, after that, I go back up to one of the other guys I was training with at the time, and he said, "Yeah, you're lucky you didn't get beaten up by the other guy." And I was working security, and I thought I was supposed to be introduced to the guys, or they're supposed to know I'm security. I was wearing the company shirt and all that, but I guess not. I mean, it was kind of weird. I thought it was really weird, but he's lucky. This fan for attacking Randy Orton, he is damn lucky to not be retaliated on and have Canvas come up to him first, I think I've said this on the show before. Whenever some fan likes to take justice into their own hands and going after a wrestler, thinking it's real, and attacks the wrestler in the ring, someone's going to get hurt. And it's not going to be the wrestler. There's no damn way it's going to be the wrestler. It's happened before many times in professional wrestling since, God, even the territory days, you know? So, it just seems... I just hate hearing, reading that fans are going after wrestlers. I hate it. I really do. I mean, sit down, enjoy the show. Yeah, you know what? Some guy's gonna get their comeuppance, and Randy Orton wasn't even the heel that night, so that's what I don't get. He must have been one of those IWC fans, and he must have got tired of falling asleep like Chris Kelly. I don't know. So there you go. Let's just say the fans very lucky for that. Congratulations to WWE for the Total Divas thing. It's cool that they had a good showing, and it's cool that they had a great turnout to watch the show. So there you go. Going to TNA now with Keiji Muto. I was saying this on the SNS Facebook page earlier when I was checking this out. And it looked like, to me, it looked like there would be an exchange. I mean, you can't just have wrestlers from TNA go to Japan all of a sudden. I guess he got wind. I'm guessing that Muto got wind of TNA's problems as of late, with the pay and all that. And he offered to help the wrestlers out, too, by inviting them to Japan to wrestle in Japan. And... If you ask anyone in wrestling, dude, Japan's big money. Japan's big money next to WWE. So, you know, that's awesome for them. I hope they do good. I really do. And I hope to see a nice exchange between the two. Maybe not. TNA will get back into the Wrestle Kingdom fold. Mainly because of the fact that they don't have... I mean, there was reports before about a lot of New Japan guys getting real tired of TNA's BS and calling them a second-rate company and all that, which I could see, you know, at the time, you know. But I've never seen, when they were in Japan for those, for these big events, I didn't see any problems. I mean, the matches were fluid, the matches were solid, just as any other Japanese match would be. And you had Kurt Angle there, and Kurt Angle was big in Japan. He's had great matches in Japan, you know. So that's why I was a little disappointed to find out that they were getting rid of TNA from Wrestle Kingdom, because, you know, it was good stuff. But plus the global impacts were kind of big too. But anyway, I hope they do it. I know Ring of Honor is going to be working with New Japan Pro Wrestling, so they might be getting the nod for this next Wrestle Kingdom in January. So hopefully we'll get it. So I can't wait. And just watching Ink Master on Spike, and the guy I wanted eliminated just got eliminated. Awesome. There's a lot of speculation about this guy that's coming up on Impact this week. You know, it's a good question on who it could possibly be. I mean, people are saying the guy did make reference to Chris Jericho. I know it's not going to be Chris Jericho because he's going to be on tour. Many people are thinking maybe it's Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I want to say it's him. I really do, because he, as far as the TNA check, TNA gut check people went, he was the most solid. I'm a little bit saddened that he didn't get the nod. And I blame, I don't want to blame Bruce Pritchard. I can't blame Bruce Pritchard. But I would have loved to see Adam Pearce and TNA. Oh man, how epic would Pearce and Angle be, or Pearce and Samoa Joe, all that craziness. But yeah, like, I just thought, I don't know. I would have loved to see it, but my speculation, if I had to pick one person, it would have to be Hardcore Holly. Pretty much because of his the way he did the match at Hardcore Justice 2, that was pretty cool. The one night only event, that was really good. He did very well in it, and I think he could work the TNA crowd a little bit better than he did the WWE crowd. So I hope they do. I hope to see if it is. I can't wait to see who it is. But we'll let you know next week, in case some people just don't watch TNA. It might even be Hardcore. You never know. And if it was, would you watch it? Let me, you know, that's a good email question. If Hardcore Holly came back to TNA, and, you know, would it make you want to watch? If you stopped watching TNA, would Hardcore Holly make you want to watch it? Just to see. I don't know. But there you go. We'll let you know. I'll let you know what happens next week. And finally, the Taylor Hendricks retracting your statements. See, what I don't understand is that having Dixie Carter tell her that she's too heavy, even though she's a size 3. Yeah, I mean, hey, why don't you ask Mickie James about that? About that in WWE. Like, what size was she at that time? What size, you know, how did that go? The whole fat angle and all that. I don't think... I'm sorry, but I've seen Taylor Hendricks. I've seen her on TV, and she does not look anything near heavy. No, sir. Uh-uh. She looks good, I'm telling you what. And I just don't understand... you know what it was? And she said that people need to listen to her words and not do that. Okay, then why don't you speak in a context where it doesn't make you, where it doesn't sound like Dixie Carter told you that you're fat? You know, I don't understand that. Can you, I mean, does it really mean to have something like that going? To say too heavy? Too heavy as in what? Too heavy as in fat? Too heavy as in stiff with the hits in the ring? Too heavy meaning too much heavy baggage? You know, what's that? Don't just make it sound like she told you that you're fat. Because anyone with two eyes and male genitalia will tell you, for lack of a better term, that you're not fat. I'm just saying. It makes no sense to me. But yeah, I mean, hey, what the hell? So yeah, you know, that was your news of the week. Once again, check out headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlock, www.headlocks2headlines.com. You'll find my you'll find my newsman, Chris Kelly over there, along with a lot of other people checking things out, getting their bearings straight and all that. So we're going to go ahead and take a break now. When we come back, we go over the weekly recap, starting off with TNA Impact and then going into Monday Night Raw. So stay tuned. I will be back right after this.
This is Big Vito, and all I got to tell you is listen to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. That's Running the Ropes at the Unchained Wrestling Network. Because on the Pavarotti of Hard Shots to the Body, that Paisan has got it going on. That Brian Italian guy from SI. And it might be Boost the Asses, but for ratings, it's up Vito's dress. Go ahead and retweet that.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. And each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Did you forget, Randy? The suffering you endured. You can't let it go.
You can't let it go. You can't let it go.
An eye for an eye. Give back what is deserved.
What is deserved.
For every action, a reaction.
A reaction.
A reaction.
For every wrongdoing, a consequence. Never forgive.
Never
forget.
Payback's a...
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. If you're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling, log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's Headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
This is the Master, your Master, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
All right, welcome back to Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network and the SNS Radio Network. Brian Maverick Bertrand, we're here back with you once again. Time now for our weekly wrestling recap up to this point. Starting off with TNA Impact. Impact, of course, coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky in the Broadbent Arena. And, of course, after all these new things going on with TNA, I'll admit the show was actually better than I expected. A little bit better than I expected, so that was pretty cool. So, first I'm going to go ahead start off with some quick results, and I'll go over the main storyline of the night. Quick results. TNA X Division title, Ultimate X. New X Division champion named as Manic defeats Sanjay Dutt and newcomer. Let me emphasize newcomer because I really did not watch this guy start at all against. I guess he had a match with Rockstar Spud, but I don't even remember it being televised. Then again, it's on Explosion. But I don't get Explosion out here in the West Coast. Manic defeats Sanjay Dutt, the player from the Himalaya. And Gary Marasciullo to win the title, which is vacated by Chris Sabin. In the BFG series match, Mr. Anderson defeats Hernandez via pinfall, gaining 7 points. In a knockouts title match, Mickey James retains over Gail Kim. In the second of three BFG series, Daniels defeats Samoa Joe for 7 points. And finally, in the main event, AJ Styles defeats Jeff Hardy via submission in the BFG series, awarding him 10 points. So here's the BFG series now. Magnus still tops the leaderboard by a commanding lead of 49 points. Samoa Joe in a distant second with 26. AJ Styles in third place for 22 points. Christopher Daniels with 21 points in fourth. Jeff Hardy in fifth place with 17 points. Austin Aries in sixth place with 14 points. Also tied with Mr. Anderson with 14 points as well. Seventh place is Hernandez. Eighth place with no points is Kazarian, Jay Bradley, and Bobby Roode. And dead last, you have Joseph Park with minus 10 as he lost via disqualification his one Bound for Glory's match that he was in. Awesome. I'm not really surprised Magnus is gone. TNA wants to really put up Magnus, so they really want to step him up on that. Anyway, main story of the night. What pretty much had to go to the fact that Main Event Mafia was celebrating Chris Sabin's World Heavyweight title win over Bully Ray. But Bully Ray actually got a lawyer and is gonna and threatened Sabin to give him, and basically the lawyer threatened to give to Sabin that if he doesn't give the title back to Bully Ray, he's gonna sue the company and bring the company down. Like you need someone to sue to bring TNA down. Let's just be honest. but I'm just the fact that Bully Ray went and did a whole lawyer kind of gimmick now is kind of stupid to me. I didn't really like that. I mean, I could see why they would use it for that, but considering the kind of people they have, for the kind of stable that Aces and Eights are, and seeing as how they want to emulate a motorcycle gang, mainly that of Sons of Anarchy, shouldn't they have gotten a female lawyer? I mean, is Mr. Anderson suddenly going to have an affair with a nurse or a female doctor? I don't know. I'm just saying. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The show, Main Event Mafia, is celebrating the win, to which at the end of the night, Hulk Hogan comes out and rips up the indictment that he had in his hand at the end of the night, and said, "You know what? You want him? You're gonna face him for the TNA title in a steel cage match at Hardcore Justice, which is probably gonna be the next pay-per-view coming up, besides the One Night Only, you know." But yeah, like that. I thought that was pretty cool. As far as the show goes, I thought it was cool. I mean, there wasn't really much to go on. It was basically another round of which team's going to outsmart the other and step up and maybe win for Main Event Mafia or Aces and Eights. But, I mean, hey, Aces and Eights are getting there. They, you know, Mr. Anderson defeated Hernandez, so that was cool. I just think that with everything going on, I think that guaranteed Magnus, it's going to be, I got a feeling it's going to be Magnus versus Mr. Anderson in the finals of the BFG series. I'm not guaranteeing it, but that's my prediction so far. Because Anderson's been on a bit of a roll, and so is Magnus, so there you go. As far as letter grades go, I do got to give it a D, because it didn't, you only had that one match. That was it. Basically announced, which is a steel cage match for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Very, 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 like, boring, in my opinion. Very nonchalant with it. And it's gotten to a point, and I can understand they had to lower the amount of pay-per-views, which is absolutely fine with me. I don't mind that at all. However, that being said, I would want to see TNA actually build up that two-month away, basically, pay-per-view. I would love them to, you know, acknowledge the fact that they have some time before they got to get into the pay-per-view mindset again and to do that. I think they did a great job with Destination X. I thought that was cool, and the fact they did it free was kind of cool, too. So, I mean, who knows at this point? Especially with TNA's problems right now, we'll see what happens. We haven't seen... I still want to see the in-ring debut of Rampage Jackson. I still want to see a decent match between Aces and Eights and Main Event Mafia. I think that would make sense. And so much more. So, I mean, if I had to give it a grade, a D, because it didn't really do much in terms of hype up anything, to be quite honest. So, there you go. Anyway, that was TNA Impact this week from Alabama. Next, coming up on the next episode, is going to be the August 1 warning, which is coming up. Definitely check that one out. Also, no, actually, that's it. So, all right. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on now to some WWE Raw. WWE coming to you from Laredo, Texas. It opens up with Vince McMahon's music coming out to the ring with Brad Maddox and Tail, like a little puppy dog, you know. It's how he rolls, kind of. Vince hands the microphone to Maddox, who apologizes to the fans for allowing John Cena to choose Daniel Bryan as his SummerSlam opponent. McMahon then takes the mic back and plays on Maddox, calling Daniel Bryan a troll, citing psychological problems. Daniel Bryan's theme starts up now, interrupting Vince McMahon. Bryan comes down to the ring with mic in hand and explains that, with all due respect, Maddox's words were dictated by Vince McMahon. Vince responds by saying that interrupting him was a major lack in respect, despite what Daniel Bryan just said. McMahon asks if he respects John Cena, to which Bryan says he does. He respects John Cena as a champion, a human being, and respects the fact that Cena chose him as his opponent for SummerSlam. McMahon says that Cena's a manipulator and basically a lot of bubbled stuff that exists only in McMahon's mind. McMahon says that Cena knows what he thinks. Let me start that sentence over. McMahon says that Cena knows what he knows, and he knows that Vince McMahon or that Daniel Bryan can't beat neither Cena nor Kane tonight. McMahon says that Daniel Bryan doesn't have ruthless aggression, and he also says that Cena doesn't have that anymore either, and that he's right for the picking. And McMahon doesn't want Cena to win at SummerSlam, but then again, McMahon doesn't want Daniel Bryan to win at SummerSlam either because he's too small. McMahon wants both Cena and Bryan to spontaneously combust in the middle of the ring with little particles of Daniel Bryan and John Cena just flailing into nothingness. Daniel Bryan and McMahon have a little funny tiptoe contest. As first, it was McMahon getting down to Daniel Bryan's level by squatting down, and Daniel Bryan getting all up on his tiptoes to get to McMahon's level, but McMahon is getting on his tiptoes, and it was funny. I thought it was funny. But that was before Bryan said that it doesn't matter what McMahon thinks, but what the fans think. And then he asked the fans if they want a new WWE champion, to which I'm sure I speak for everyone when we say yes, yes, yes. Right after that, the Shield's theme song starts up, and we have our first match. The first match, of course, the Shield defeating the Usos and Mark Henry in a six-man tag. And for God's sakes, during this match, please, can someone pass on, do me a favor, on Twitter or something, could someone pass, or someone tell Michael Cole to stop trying to use catchphrases, especially from entrances for wrestlers? I mean, we still need time to heal for Mike Adamly. Come on, guys. It's too soon. Come on. Oh, my mouse decides to act all funny. After the match, Mark Henry attacks the Shield after the match, attacking him after. Especially picking a fight with Roman Reigns, so that was pretty good. After that, Kane is in the back with Brad Maddox looking for the Wyatts, who Maddox said weren't there this week, which I kind of felt bad for. Maddox says that if Kane wants to send a message to the Wyatts, he should defeat Daniel Bryan. Kane looks into the distance, thinking about the notion. And Rob Van Dam, after this, Rob Van Dam defeats Fandango via countout. Of course, Fandunghole over there wants to just get out of the ring. I'm sorry, I'm tired of that. I will still say that as a fan, as someone that they've really hyped to come out and be dominant in the ring and dance and all that, to have him just roll out of the ring like that, and I could see how it would benefit a character, but at the same time, that's not what the fans want. The fans are done with stupid heel moves. I want to see smart heel moves, and unfortunately, you won't get that in WWE, so there you go. And I wrote down on here, the pussification for Fandango is getting a little out of hand. Why are they making him not even finish the match? Wouldn't you think that would make him a joke by now? Because that's honestly what I think of Fandango. He's a joke. He's a and he really is a joke, because, I mean, according to a lot of reports, Van Dickhole is just a parody of Chris Jericho, who was on Dancing with the Stars. It's been over a year since he's been on Dancing with the Stars, you guys. Move on.
I mean, geez. Anyway, after that, Caitlin defeats AJ Lee. One thing I noticed before this, as Josh Josh Roberts, was introducing AJ, he misspoke the hometown. Instead, he said that AJ was from Union State, New Jersey, and not Union City, New Jersey. I know I'm probably wrong, but I could have sworn I heard it. Anyway, Caitlin goes. Let me type that again in here. AJ rather goes nuts over the loss to Caitlin. Biggie Langston comes in to the ring and try to console her before Dolph Ziggler's theme begins. And the former World Heavyweight Champion comes out to the stage, talks some trash, and then challenges Big E to a match right here, right now. And finally we have it, Dolph Ziggler defeating Big E Langston via disqualification by an attack from Miss AJ Lee. Very quick series of matches after that. Christian defeats Alberto Del Rio. Cody Rhodes defeats Wade Barrett. And before this match started, we're brought up to speed on the SmackDown feud between Rhodes and Damian Sandow, as Cody Rhodes threw the Money in the Bank briefcase into the river, Gulf of Mexico, which that Gulf of Mexico gets a lot of camera time. I mean, they couldn't spend it on, I don't know, wrestlers? I don't know. Anyway, Daniel Bryan ends up defeating Kane, of course. I'm sure we all predicted that. Kane attacks Daniel Bryan after the match. Weird. As Kane celebrates what he just did, the Wyatt family make their way to the ring. And as soon as lights come back on, Kane goes right for Bray Wyatt, but Wyatt's henchman attacks Kane and catches him before he could reach him. Bray smiles and walks through the ring as his sheep hold Kane up. Then Bray then grabs Kane and hits him with his twisted flatliner finishing move. And I like that finisher. That's a good finisher to have, I think. Bray then tells Kane that he better be careful what he says, because he never knows who might be listening. After this match, Brie Bella defeats Natalya, and Curtis Axel and R-Truth ended in no contest due to CM Punk coming out to go after Paul Heyman. Axel was caught with a shot to the mouth in the end, so it might be a disqualification win for Curtis Axel, actually. But after that, the camera goes right to the backstage area. Triple H confronts Vince McMahon about Vince pulling Maddox's strings. Vince wants someone to beat John Cena, despite the fact he doesn't think Daniel Bryan can do it. Stephanie McMahon steps in between the two and suggests that they give Daniel Bryan a, quote, corporate makeover. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they're pulling a Dude Love and gonna give Daniel Bryan a corporate makeover. Vince walks out saying, good luck. And Triple H says, you know, quietly to Stephanie, yeah, it could work. I could see that. And finally, in the main event, in a tables match, John Cena defeating Ryback. Of course, no shock there. So there you go. Daniel Bryan, after this match, comes down to the ring and then grabs the WWE title belt from the timekeeper. Bryan goes back into the ring and starts to hand Cena the belt, but Cena sees him with fists raised. Cena goes to grab the belt, but Daniel Bryan pulls it away. After playing to the crowd a little bit, Cena grabs the belt by force, catching Bryan off guard. The two exchange words and raw ends to yes chants from the fans and Daniel Bryan's music. The final grade I'm going to give this one, actually, is going to be a C+. It was good. It was okay build up for the main event. I mean, if you're not paying attention, you're not going to realize that they're going to have Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow, or Mark Henry versus The Shield, or Usos versus Reigns and Rollins for the tag team titles. I mean, it just makes sense. Daniel Bryan looks as strong as ever going into the main event right now. He looked very strong on Monday. He was the star attraction on there, and I'm so glad that he's getting some time to be in the spotlight. That's just awesome. The cons in this one, The Shield wasn't featured as much as I expected. The story that between them and Mark Henry and the Usos, I could understand it's not top billing, but it should be at least mid billing. And I don't know why they were the first match on the card. I don't know. I mean, they're a strong team. As a unit, all three have only, one loss altogether? And what's really irritating me that I'm noticing with Raw now, and I think some others are going to agree with me on this, the Raw product is now solely relying on the McMahons pulling the strings at USA Network's behest, meaning that USA... I know USA wanted them to come back because that was their biggest draw. It wasn't as major unless the McMahons were on TV. And what makes me laugh about this is that didn't Mr. McMahon die? Didn't his limo explode or something? I mean, come on. But, hey, you know what? That's show business. So, there you go. That's going to be your wrestling recap. All in all, I could see Raw winning this week as far as entertainment value goes. The grades pretty much say that. But TNA, they're restructuring. We'll see what happens when they restructure and all that and more. So, but there you go. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take my last commercial break. When I come back, I'll give you guys my final thought. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Hardcore Country!
Hey everyone, this is your favorite knockout and thrillbilly rock star extraordinaire, James, and you are listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
This is Cary Silkin from Ring of Honor, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Did you forget, Randy? The suffering you endured. You can't let it go.
You can't let it go.
An eye for an eye. Give back what is deserved. Every action, a reaction.
A reaction.
For every wrongdoing, a consequence. Never forgive. Never forget.
Payback's a...
Gentlemen, SNS Unplugged has returned to the airwaves. You can check out the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as they discuss the happenings from Monday Night Raw, NXT, the latest news of the week, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com, And then things get a little interesting as the topics could change from week to week, including topics such as the supernatural, conspiracy theories. Basically, whatever the hell these guys want to talk about, they're going to cover it every Tuesday night right here on the SNS Radio Network. SNS Unplugged is back, baby. Uncensored. Unbelievable. Unplugged. I'm waking up.
What's up, all you stars and studs? I am former WWE Diva Maria, and I am now the current First Lady of Ring of Honor. And you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Alrighty, welcome back to Running the Ropes here on the SNS Radio Network and the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Bertrand flying solo, cutting the show a bit short this week. It's kind of hard to maintain a two-hour show if I don't have a co-host. So pretty much what I want to do is I want to search for a new co-host because, of course, unfortunately, I can't get Chris back on for now because of his work schedule. But that's fine. Hey, you know, maybe I'll bring on some different people. I don't know. Maybe I could bring on a big-time guest, someone I've interviewed in the past, to come on and talk wrestling for a couple hours and to really set the stage for that. I think that would be pretty cool. What do you guys think? I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to give my final thought of the week and move you guys on. One thing that I'm noticing now is that TNA's had all these problems in the last couple of weeks, and it made an impact, for lack of a better term, within the entire organization in terms of people getting released, in terms of people going out there. The main person in the whole mess of releases that I feel the most bad for is Jesse Sorensen. And I only say this mainly because Sorensen was injured during his match with Zema Ion. I'm sure everyone saw that match. And it was a really nasty spot. And according to him and TNA, he broke his, I want to say it was C6 and C7 vertebrae. Or maybe the C2 and C3. I'm not sure on that, on the exact point. But he messed up his neck real bad. He really busted his neck. And now, before even coming back, he gets released. And yet, TNA said, oh, well, yeah, we'll have the door open for you. We want you back. Oh, my God. But yet, they release him. And a lot of these things are just weird changes. And it's unfortunate. But see, now here's how I look at these new changes, and these are becoming as revelations as of late in terms of the new structures. What we do know is that TNA must change, and this is a big must, because if they want to survive and be that number two wrestling promotion, considering that they're not considered WWE competition, considering that they're not, and probably not ever going to be on WWE's level, which is fine, they need to be the ones to actually be okay with that. They need to step up and say, what the hell, you know, we're probably not going to be that big. That's fine. Let's make the most of it. Let's go like to the places that you never that normally would probably get some big indie shows like Ring of Honor and all that, but don't put it down like the high schools and all that, which is fine. Go to your convention centers, your little civic centers, the Cow Palace. Why aren't they? See, if they come out to Daly City in near San Francisco and take the Cow Palace, you want to know how big that is? The Cow Palace is legendary, bro. But that's a whole other story. Anyway, if they could restructure and look into getting smaller venues but still be on the road and grow from that, hell, WCW did that back in the early 90s. NWA's done it. NWA still does it. But then again, NWA's all a bunch of indie promotions now, basically. But still, it wouldn't hurt to go to the smaller venues. Personally, I would love to see them at the Cow Palace or San Jose Civic Center or San Jose Event Center over at San Jose State University. You know, all these other smaller venues is what they need. They got to stop trying to book big places because the big places are not going to look good on TV. Look at when they went to Wembley Arena in the UK. And, I mean, Wembley Arena is a legendary stadium. It's a legendary arena. But it's not... I mean, the way they had it on TV, it looked way small. It looked like they were in the supply closet, basically. You know? But with TNA's restructuring, they could do a lot. I think they're in line to do a lot better for the company and to really set things up. This last incident that happened with the money, this is rock bottom. That was rock bottom. Bruce Pritchard's gone. He left the company. You have a whole bunch of other people that were released. You have all these other great changes coming. And it's going to be huge for TNA in the long run. I want to see Jesse Sorensen come back one day. I want to see him come back and get a big push. I want to see Hulk Hogan become more than just a consultant. I know, I'm going to get internet hate, but I know already. I totally understand. But I think that if Hulk Hogan could just provide his expertise into help running a great company that TNA can be, I think it would be amazing. I want to see certain people come back. If they have to bring Russo back to the forefront, which I'm sure he still is. I don't remember if he's still working for the company or not. But if they have to bring in Dave Lagana or Vince Russo or someone like that, I think that would be cool. Get Jeff Jarrett back. The fans want Jeff Jarrett back. He doesn't even have to be in the ring. He doesn't have to wrestle. Because like Hulk Hogan said, Jeff Jarrett's time is done. Hulk Hogan's time is now. And I know that's totally a John Cena line, but still. Just the fact that, you know, now with Dixie Carter answering questions left and right from the fans, except not the outlandish ones, but the honest ones. You know, I encourage everyone, even the TNA haters, even the TNA haters, to ask brutally honest questions. Don't joke around. Don't, you know, be a bit mature. Show a little decorum, as Vince McMahon likes to put. You know, I would love to have TNA invite, you know, constructive criticism. If you're going to criticize constructively. So that way TNA can learn. And TNA could make the mistakes and learn, do trial and error. And all that great stuff. I think TNA can be on a good upswing now that they have to restructure. So my final thought is that my final request is this. Be mature about TNA. Ask the honest questions. Encourage TNA to be better. Because you don't even have to show support. Just say, you know what? I respect that. I want to see you guys come back. Maybe not, you know, maybe you won't get as much respect. I mean, it's not like you had all my respect in the first place, but I want to see you guys come up because I want to see you guys give WWE a run for their money, even though they don't consider you as competition. I want to see you guys put all this show on and make a big thing out of it, make a big effort, because that's the only way TNA is going to understand. They only understand through encouragement, through constructive criticism, through honest and open passion that you have, that everyone listening to this show and any wrestling radio show ever has. And that's the passion. So show some passion for TNA. Show some, you know, ask mature and honest questions. Even if it's behind the scenes. Don't go outlandish and say, hey, is Chris Benoit going to make a comeback? Are you running out of money? You have to bring in dead people who murdered their kid? You know, things like that. Don't do that. Just be cool with it, you know? So, anyway, that's going to do it for me this week. Next episode, we're going to be coming in with more information on the August 1 warning. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. If you want to interact with the show, I definitely encourage it. Email me, runningtheropes@yahoo.com. And also on Twitter, @RTRMaverick, no K at the end, because, well, that's just how I roll. And, you know, share your opinions. I would love to see it. Anyway, that's going to do it for me. Brian Maverick Bertrand here saying, see you later, everybody.
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, the official podcast of the Unchained Wrestling Network, and brought to you by the SNS Radio Network. The views expressed in this program are that of the panel and not of the networks or their affiliates.